We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Adam, I just want to say something before we get started. And we've got a big show. And we're going to tell you about it in just a second. But games like Saturday, Adam, and moments like Saturday are what make me both really like and also make it really tough to be a Carolina Insider podcast host. We got to know Javonte Williams even better than we did before in talking to him. And then Javonte, who had a terrific game, makes a mistake at the end of the game. And it just makes you, it makes you hurt even more for Javonte, because you know that that rascals probably was on a horse yesterday riding Cash or Pablo, thinking about how mad he was at himself for not catching that pass at the end of the game. And I don't like that, Adam.
So you want to, Jones, I'm going to tell you, when you invest,
that's it,
you get more out.
Yeah.
But it also hurts more.
It hurts more. That's true.
You just want to not know any of
no.
the players or coaches personally.
No, Adam. I
don't think that's perfect.
I can celebrate his success when he trucks over guys like he did early in the game.
He sure did. He chicken trucked him, you might say.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's worse only at that precise moment, and then when you're thinking about it afterward. And like at the moment, you're like, oh. And then afterwards, when you're thinking about it, you're like, oh, I really feel bad for Javonte.
Yeah.
I feel bad for me personally, but also Javonte, who I like.
Yeah. And he had such a terrific game. And as Mac Brown said correctly, that play wasn't the problem on Saturday.
I thought Mac Brown's explanation to you, I don't know about to big media, was perfect. Carolina had 81 snaps, and that was one of the 81, and what, probably about 20 of those 81 were executed perfectly, and on the other 61, most everybody could find something they didn't do exactly right.
Well, hopefully, Adam, we're going to feel a little better after the pod today. We're going to flush the Florida State discussion out of our system. We're going to get it out of the way, and on we go. We have that today. Adam, we have double guest, two guys who have been on the show before, and they're going to help us get ready for basketball because basketball practice has started. Armando Bacot and Leaky Black both joining us today to give us the inside skinny on what's been going on with the team. And before you complain, not you, Adam, we were going to do this anyway, no matter what was going to happen with football this past weekend. So just get that in your mind.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, well, football's not number five anymore. Right. On to basketball.
Right.
Down to number 14. That's not satisfactory to us.
Right.
This had been in the works.
Yes. So
anytime you can get a chance to get on board the leaky train, you have to do so.
Which, by the way, let me just say, both these interviews are good. Leaky Black just, and when we talked to him, he just seemed like I feel like our little Leaky's just grown up. Like this is a very mature interview that we have with Leaky Black coming up. Now, we'd still talk about like DaBaby and stuff, but.
Oh, yeah. But in a mature way.
Yeah.
How about the musical tips he gave us, which I'm not going to reveal.
Right.
Are suitable to listen to with your children. That's a mark of our little Leaky growing and maturing as a wise adult.
Yeah.
Does he still have a sticker of himself on the wall in his room? Yes.
Yeah.
But he's able to give us some kid-friendly tunes.
Do we have a sticker of ourselves on the front door to Pod World Headquarters? Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So, Armando Bacot, Leaky Black, separate interviews coming up. Also today, Adam, we're doing something that is probably rarely done on an audio-only medium. We're going to have a little taste test today. I don't even want to spoil it. We'll get to it in a little bit, but let me just say, we're going to have a little taste of the rainbow coming up in a little bit.
When you said that, it got me thinking, would it be better on the video pod?
Probably. However, let's be honest, Adam. The ones who know,
right.
If you know, you know, right. And the ones who know are listening right now.
Yeah, the audio pod's day one.
Yeah. The OGs will know what we're doing.
You can't sell them out like that. I think that's right.
So we've got that coming up in a little bit. Adam has a list. I have an I don't even want that. Adam may
you
go.
You don't even want what?
I don't even want this. Oh, yeah. What did I say?
That.
Oh, this, that, this. Him, her, she, he.
Potato, potato.
I, me.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Adam might goad me into doing a how can you justify that? I don't know. All of that coming up. But before we get to our discussion about the game on Saturday, a reminder that our show is brought to you by LS Tractor. LS Tractor is going to help make short work of those outside projects. That's normal yard maintenance, the everyday grind. You know what I'm talking about. Or larger projects when you get that honeydew list.
Petey-doo.
LS Tractor has the machine for you. LSTractorUSA.com to see the difference. LS Tractor, what's it about for you? Okay. Adam, 31-28 was the final score on Saturday night in Tallahassee. And big picture, this one wasn't too hard to figure out. Carolina played really, really poorly in the first 30 minutes. And then look like themselves again in the second half, but the hole was so deep that they couldn't get out of it. Just ran out of time. And to me, this goes to something that Coach Williams talks about a lot, and Mac Brown talked about it a little bit on Monday as well, and that's the old sense of urgency discussion, Adam. And there's a difference between playing hard and sense of urgency. Do I think the Tar Heels prepared? They were ready to play? They played hard. They tried. Of course I do. Yes. But I also think we can all agree there was a different edge to Carolina in the Virginia Tech game than there was in the Florida State game. And I think that edge is that mythical sense of urgency of Carolina was tired of losing to Virginia Tech. They're a team the Tar Heels see every year. They're close by. A team they know well. They had lost to them in dramatic fashion the last 2 years, and they were tired of it. This game, the Tar Heels don't play Florida State very often. The Seminoles were 1-3. They're not nearby. They're not a division team in a normal year, so you don't see them a lot. Carolina and Florida State don't necessarily cross paths frequently on the recruiting trail. Some, but not a ton. And so there's just a different relationship. And I think you could, see that of that edge wasn't there. And then as soon as Florida State blocked that first punt, which it's disappointing that I have to specify which one I'm talking about. And Mac Brown has said this, and he's exactly right. As soon as they blocked that punt and scored on their first play, it was everything else that had happened before that moment leading up to that game in previous weeks, it didn't matter anymore. Because now Florida State was energized, excited. Carolina had gotten hit back a little bit, and it was a totally different game from that moment forward. And there were just too many mistakes. Carolina is not good enough right now. And we said this before the game, to not play close to its potential and still have a good chance to win. They cannot overcome two block punts, failure to get two fourth downs deep in the opposition's territory, a missed field goal, and a pick six. They can't overcome that right now. There might be a day that they can't, and they almost did. There will be a day in 2 years or something that they can, but that day is not today, and the hole was too deep.
Not good enough to overcome all that on the road in the ACC. It's not like they were playing Apex High School. That was still Florida State. And I also think, like, this is the track a program takes on the road to improvement. It doesn't go straight up. That's not normal. And you can't simulate the extra edge an opponent has when you come in as number five and all of a sudden they really want to beat you and their crowd wants to beat you.
That's a really good – Brian made that point on the air in postgame of – the Tar Heels weren't they didn't realize, and how could they? They hadn't been there before. They didn't realize how ready Florida State was going to be for that game.
And I think your hope is now you've got 100 players in your program who have experienced that. Mm-hmm. And when you get back there, they will remember, oh, remember, guys, now every game's big. And I think that's what makes the sustained success of Carolina basketball so incredible, because they deal with that almost every year. You know, every single game you play, the other team, it will make their year to beat you. Like, Florida State used to have sod games. I don't know if they still do. I feel like they would have taken sod out of Doak Campbell's, their own stadium, for that game on Saturday.
They poured Gatorade on their coach.
Yeah.
After the game.
That's where you want to get as a program, that it's such a big deal that the other team pours Gatorade on the coach. But you need to understand that if it means that much to them at the end of the game, that's also how they started the game. And Carolina wasn't quite at that level. It certainly did not. Well, based on the 31-7 halftime score, I would say Carolina did not quite meet that level of intensity in the first half.
And I want to be clear one more time. I am not, and I don't think Adam is either, saying that the Tar Heels weren't ready to go and that they didn't try to. I mean, that's not what it was. I think they got hit back a little bit, and they were stunned a little bit. And then they're just those moments throughout the game. I mean, not getting the fourth and a yard at the 25 after a long, good drive. I mean, Carolina was very patient offensively in the first half and was moving the football, but it was taking a long time to get down the field. And to not get that. The sequence at the end of the half, not just the pick six, but then you go down and score, you've cut it to 24-7, and then have just a really poor sequence defensively over the next couple of plays where Florida State just looks like it can do whatever it wants and goes right down the field and scores to go up 31-7. And the difference is 7 points, but just like the play for Carolina at the end of the Virginia Tech first half, that was such a big score. There's a big feel difference to 24-7 to 31-7. There just is. Not scoring after the pick. I mean, Carolina had all the momentum, all of it. They'd gotten within 10. Morrison gets the pick. A great play by him. You have first and 10 at the Florida State 27 or 29, and you don't score. It was a poor offensive sequence. I think they gained 5 yards on a first down run and then got knocked back on second down, didn't complete a pass or came up short. I can't remember on third down, and then miss a field goal. And I thought that was killer. They're just – and, Adam, the fact that they were down 31-7 and still had as good a chance to win as it – because let's also not forget, as we talked about, Tar Heels dropped passes right at the end. That could have extended the drive. Somehow, they were still in great position at the end of the game, and I think that speaks to how good this team is, like the talent level on this team. The fact that they were still that close makes this one sting even more because – you just think, man, if you play at 75% instead of 50% in the first half, or if you have one or two of those really negative plays, whether it was a mistake in the secondary or the bad pick six or whatever it was, then you probably win this game even without playing your best.
Yeah, I that's the thing. I think it's not that Carolina lost. I think it's consider all that stuff bad that Jones just said happened, and Carolina basically has the ball last with a chance to win the game. That's pretty impressive, I think, because just any one of these momentum-killing things that happened would have been difficult to overcome in a road ACC game. Any two, and you would say, okay, guys, probably not our day. This was a solid 6 or 7.
Yes.
And I totally think the Florida State drive right before halftime, to me, was bigger than the pick six. The pick six was like Sam Howell left his body, and suddenly I replaced Sam Howell at quarterback, and that's just one of those fluky things that will only ever happen once in his life, and it's over now. The drive right before half was, as you said, you'd drawn to 24-7, and it felt like, okay, guys, we've put that opening 28 minutes is done, and now Carolina's ready to play football. Let's let them go in the locker room and think about how we're here now, and they're going to have to deal with this. So what they did to deal with it was they just breezed right down the field, 75 yards, I think maybe 6 plays. It basically looked like they were doing whatever they wanted. And then you have to go in the locker room and think about, well, we, the Tar Heels, were pretty awful in that first half. And it changed the entire feel of what I think halftime could have felt like. And just how you felt about the second half moving forward. And even still, to come back from that and have the ball, again, basically last with a chance to win. If you had told me at 9 p.m., Adam.
So that was about halfway through the first quarter?
Yeah. This game is going to weigh solely on Sam Howell throwing it to Javonte Williams. And if that happens, the Tar Heels have got a chance to at least tie the game. I would have said, I'm in. I don't need to see anything else. Let's just do that. And it just didn't work out.
Sam Howell bounced back. Terrific game in the second half. And he was under some pressure. I just thought he had a great game. I mean, outside of that, I mean, obviously the one throw was bad. I thought he played really well in that second half to give Carolina a chance to win. His ability to extend plays this year, and I think it's interesting how he's moving, but he isn't settling to just run all the time, if that makes sense. He had another touchdown to Javonte Williams with a pass that looked similar to the one against BC, where he was aware of where he was on the field, knew he couldn't go much farther down the field, and whipped one to after the play had broken down a little bit. I thought he played well. Javonte Williams, again, I'm sure he's sick to his stomach about that last play. He played terrifically, I thought, for 99.9% of the game. Carolina's defense looked like closer to what we think it is right now, which is good, not great, but a good defense in the second half. The eye discipline, which is a football term for sure, was not there in the first half. I mean, the secondary, Travis's ability to run, and the secondary would then look at him and start creeping up and just forget to guard dudes. I mean, that was – there were a couple times where Florida State guys were just obviously way too open.
Yeah, but the Tar Heels figured it out in the second half, mostly. Of course, by then you had given up 31 points and a half to a team that had scored 49 against the FBS teams they had played to that point in the season. So that's not a positive. I thought you really felt the loss of Storm Duck and Miles Wolfuck in the secondary, because
those are two starters. It is worth continuing to remember that when you're going, wait a second, how come the other team's completing some passes? Two starters down.
And essentially veteran starters who have experience doing the things you just said. Like when the quarterback's running around, I can't forget, oh yeah, I got 81 or whoever. Or I got this quarter of the field. And they just got sucked in. And you just hope that that's a learning experience. And next year at this time, they look back and laugh.
So I don't know what else about this game other than I think now what an interesting stretch Carolina has coming up with, I think, geographically and historically probably the four biggest rivals that the Tar Heels have, with State, Virginia, Duke, Wake Forest. Those are the next four games. And I think at least the body of work to this point, State certainly is 4-1 and has played well. They're ranked. First time Carolina and State have both been ranked in a game since 1993.
Donnie Thompson game. Watch the video pod Thursday.
I think the Tar Heels have a better resume than Virginia, Duke, and Wake at this point, probably about equal to what State has done as far as the body of work in this season to this point. But you know, I know, Carolina fans know, every one of those teams, they want nothing more than to win that game. They all are going to have some personnel package that they haven't showed yet in a game that they're going to spring on you to try to sneak in a cheap touchdown. You know, whatever it is, that edge that we talked about a couple minutes ago, that has to be there for a month straight. After that Wake game, Tar Heels have another week off, then Notre Dame and Miami to close out, and you'll see what's going on at that point in the conference. But the edge has to be there for four straight weeks now for Carolina, because it will be there, no doubt, on the four opponents that the Heels are playing.
And that's what's so tricky, I think, if you're a coach, is because there is going to be a lot of talk about how Carolina should probably win these next four games and the Tar Heels could be 7-1, and then you got a chance to play some big games. Well, Carolina could also be 3-5. And that's what the really good coaches are able to do, is to persuade their players somehow, these college kids, that instead of listening to what everybody's telling you, only worry about winning on Saturday. And then if you win on Saturday, we'll get back together on Sunday and we'll figure out how to win the next Saturday. And that's part of building a program, and that's part of climbing up things like national rankings and staying there, is being able to repeat that week after week, kind of like a pitcher who throws one great pitch and then you think, wow, that was awesome. And then the next pitch gets hit 500 feet because he can't repeat it. You have to be able to repeat that whole game week intensity week after week after week in a really long college football season.
And let me just say before we're done with this conversation, Mack Brown yesterday was still very pleasant, very cordial. He was the charismatic Mack Brown that everyone knows. You can tell this one, he knows what happened in that game, and he doesn't like it.
And I think he'd like another crack at Florida State. He's never beaten Florida State. That's weird.
Yeah, it is
weird. That is weird. Now, Texas never played them.
Right.
So that's some of his very best teams as a coach. But his last experience with Florida State from a Carolina perspective is beating his head against the Florida State wall when they were the best program in the country. So he doesn't want to lose to those stinkers. And especially
scallywags.
Especially to lose that way, and he went there. So I think that's frustrating for him, but I think he knows better than anybody. It took him 10 years to get to the point where Carolina was on the level to play those games before. This year, number two. So things are ahead of schedule, but there's still work to be done.
All right, we're going to get to our interviews. We're going to transition from football to basketball on the show. And our interviews, as always, brought to you by the Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. Texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for right around 5 seconds. And at highway speeds, that's like driving the length of a football field with your eyes closed. Trusted choice, Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel. put down your phone while driving. Let's have a hands-free NC. And to learn more, trustedchoice.com will help you find an agent near you. So as we said, had a chance to talk to both Armando Bacot and Leaky Black to talk about how the beginning of practice is going, how the offseason went, some of their thoughts on the young freshmen that'll play such a big role on the team this year. So we'll go straight to Armando. We'll transition from Armando to Leaky, come back out of that. Adam and I will talk a little bit about basketball. We'll get to Adam's list. We have a taste test and more. All coming up on the Carolina Insider.
Our guest today has got a lot going on. He's got basketball practice has started back. He's been admitted to one of the most prestigious business schools in the entire United States of America. And he's on the Carolina Insider. So that's a lot going on. Armando, thanks for making some time for us today.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm really excited.
What's going on, man? How you been?
I've been good. I've been good just focusing on class, and that's basically it, in practice.
Why was being admitted to the business school important to you? Why was that something that you wanted to do?
I mean, because it was one of the main reasons why I came here. I knew it was a prestigious business school, and I mean, a lot of the great leaders of this world attended the business school, and it's something I've been working for, and it's something I'm really into with both of my parents, both being business people. It was a huge accomplishment for me.
Armando, how has this new world of doing class online, how has that been? What kind of adjustment has that been for you? I know you've been doing it for a while now, but what's that been like?
I mean, it's been difficult just not being able to interact with my classmates and also being in there with my teachers and getting that hands-on learning. It's just a lot different online, but I mean, everything is different in this world we're in right now.
How do you think it affected your summer and fall as a basketball player? How were you able to get work in and feel like you were making improvement for your sophomore year?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been a lot different because, I mean, obviously we haven't been able to do, like, as many open gyms as we did last year. I mean, we got the season starting later. It's just you got to be more precautious with the things you do. So, I mean, it's been a lot different.
Armando, you guys were able to, of course, work out some, not as much as you mentioned as you would like during the offseason. Practice now just getting going underway as well. Give us your thoughts on what the team is like. So many new faces this year for Carolina basketball.
I mean, it's just a whole different energy. I mean, me, Garrison, and KJ were talking the other day, like, when we were having, like, our open runs, I mean, it's just so much more competitive. You got guys talking trash in the group chat the day before, like, us doing seven-game series. Adam, I know you saw it, just, like, how competitive it is. It's just a way different competitiveness in the gym and just a different feeling.
Okay, so since you mentioned it, let's talk about that competitiveness. You and four freshmen took on some upperclassmen in a seven-game series, and you fell behind. And
3-0.
Then you win. Well, yeah, I wasn't going to do you like that. Then you went on a little winning streak, which I'm sure you'll point out was four in a row. There was some chit-chat as those games were being played. There was some Armando putting on some sick post moves. Tell us a little bit about that day and what it says about this team as a competitive group.
I mean, like I was saying to the younger guys, I mean, it just showed a lot of fight and resilience in us just going down 3-0 to the older guys. I mean, obviously, Garrison was doing his thing. Playtech wasn't missing any shots. KJ controlling the floor. We went down huge, but we said to ourselves, hey, we got to go on a four-game winning streak to win because we knew it would be tough for us in the locker room if we got swept or even lost because we were talking so much junk. So we came back to show resilience from the freshmen. I mean, they've been great. Caleb, he's been really good. RJ, Dayron, I mean, he a beast on the boards. I mean, I thought I was pretty good on the boards my freshman year, but God dang, that boy, he know how to get to the boards. I got to give it to him.
I was going to ask you about that. So not to suggest that there wasn't competition in the post last year, but now you're down there. Garrison's down there. You've got two walkers down there, Walker Kessler and Walker Miller. You've got Dayron down there. Now, what is a practice like or a workout session like when you've got all these big bodies all trying to do the same thing?
I mean, it's just so fun and so competitive. I mean, just with our big man rotation this year, we won't be able to play against bigs as good as us this year. So most of our competition will be in practice. And the fact we get to play against each other every year will make the game so much easier. I mean, I was having a conversation with Walker Kessler yesterday, and he like, man, like, college is hard. And I'm like, yeah, it's hard in practice, but I don't think it'll be this much harder in the game.
You mentioned Dayron's rebounding. You're somebody who got a ton of rebounds as a freshman. What is it about him that makes him such a good rebounder?
I mean, first, he's just so big. I mean, he's like 265 pounds. Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy. He's athletic, and he got a good knack for the ball. Like, he always in the right position to know where to get to, and he just doesn't stop on the boards.
How about Walker Kessler, since we're asking you about other guys right now, Armando?
Walker Kessler, he's a big dude.
He's so tall.
He'll have a shot on him, and he'll just come out of nowhere and just block it. I mean, and he got a good shot. He got good touch, great skill. They both would be good guys for us.
Armando, the NBA draft is coming up next month, and there was some chatter about Cole Anthony recently that you chimed in on. I wonder, why was that important for you to speak up, and what was the message you were trying to get across?
Yeah, I mean, it was huge for me. I mean, because it's just been this thing that Cole is like a bad teammate or just like a cancer in the locker room, man. And it's not true. I mean, obviously last year was tough for us, and he was one of those guys that would just try to lift us up, try to get us in the gym early before practice, and just always trying to encourage us. So, I mean, I just know it's not fair for him, and I know it's probably just somebody trying to put out bad information. I don't know, I guess to drop his stock or something. So, I mean, I just had to speak up for my guy.
Armando, it seems like it was forever ago, but last year did not go the way that you wanted or anybody around Carolina basketball wanted. Now that you've had some time to move away from that, what do you think you guys learned from that experience that hopefully will help you this season and moving forward?
I mean, just not taking nothing from granted. I mean, I feel like me personally, I took a lot of stuff for granted last year. And just as a team, this year, I mean, we pissed off, to be honest with you. Like, everybody that laughed at us this year, we'll see how they look at us this year. Well, last year, we'll see how they look at us this year.
Coach Williams always says that he really likes having a talented team that feels like they're the underdog. Yeah. Is that kind of how you feel going into the season that hopefully is going to start in about a month or so?
Definitely. I mean, we love where we're at right now. We want to be the underdogs just to wake everybody up.
Armando, so the beginning of practice, I'd just be interested in your thoughts from a year ago, the first couple of practices, to this year, the first couple of practices, maybe both individually and as a team. Do you think that they're more advanced now than they were a year ago, or have you noticed any difference when you're talking about early season practices?
Definitely, I would say we're more advanced now. I mean, the way we run the floor is just so much better. The guards were pushing it. We're a lot better shooting team this year. I mean, you get the better version of everybody last year, me, Garrison, KJ, and all the rest of the returners, Leakey. You're getting a better version of us, and then you bring in a talented group of newcomers, too. I mean, it's been great, and I feel like we're talented all around the floor, bigger, athletic. So, yeah.
What does Armando Bacot know about playing the post for Roy Williams right now that he didn't know last year at this time?
I mean, I just found out more like the smaller things I didn't do, like getting positioned earlier, creating contact first, just those little things that make it a lot easier for me. I've learned that through playing a year of college basketball.
Don't want to keep you too much longer, Armando, but last season you had some games, spectacular games, the game against Oregon in the Bahamas, and there are a lot of other examples. I'm guessing you wanted to be more consistent, though. You wanted to be closer to that level more often. How does that happen in year two for you?
I mean, like I said, just not taking anything for granted, just preparing myself, going out there, trying to keep the same mind every game, and just not taking anything for granted, playing hard every play, and just trying to win and will my team to a victory.
Armando, what's your thought on the semi-bubble life that you might be leading this year with basketball? Have you given any thought to it or what it might be like?
I mean, as a team, we've all been bubbling already, so we kind of prepared for it. We've just been sticking with each other mainly, so it's just different. It's obviously sad for me just not being able to interact with just my different classmates and friends all around campus, but hey, everything comes with a cost.
I don't like to brag, but this podcast originated the Leaky Black Fan Club.
Oh, yeah.
We were on board with the Leaky Train as far back as 2 years ago in the Bahamas. And the Leaky Train is now somewhat unbelievably pulling into his junior season. So, Leaky Black, thanks so much for giving us some time today. What's going on here as you get ready for your junior season?
Just practicing, man. First of all, I appreciate y'all having me. You know, it's been a while. But we've just been doing a lot of rehab, a lot of weightlifting, a lot of, a lot of on-court one-on-one drills, me and Coach Davis. So it's been a grind.
the let's talk about the past couple of weeks as you guys have been working out, getting on the court together some, now moving in to formalize practice. What's been going on? What do you feel like, and what's the team look like to you?
Oh, man, the team looks great. The team looks great. I feel like we're so deep, man. I don't think I've ever been on a team this loaded with just, like, so many different weapons. You know, the big mans, we have so much length down there. Then the guards, you know, RJ, Caleb, Kerwin, Puff. Hope I won't leave anyone out.
Playtech.
Yeah, Playtech. I mean, Lebo. I mean, like, the new-coming guys. But, like, everyone just looks so good. They just playing with confidence, man, and just – we look so good right now, and it's only day one. So,
what is having those bigger guys in the paint? How does that change the way you think you'll be able to defend on the perimeter and on the wing when you know you've got maybe big old Dayron Sharpe back there ready to block some shots?
Man, he's a bully. I love him. I love him, man. I feel like it just opens the floor, you know, because they have to play the bigs honest, and then we have so many wings that can shoot the ball now, and so many shot creators and shot makers. Is just, we're so loaded. Teams are going to have to play us honest, you know, and I feel like our big man, you know, G, he's still looking as amazing as he did last year. Walker Kessler is like 7 feet without shoes on. Like, and Dayron's just like a bully. It's real fun to watch.
Leaky, you guys have had just a lot of transition on the roster the last couple of years, more than I think a traditional Carolina team has had. How has the chemistry developed when you do have so many new guys who are going to be important to your team? How do you try to build that chemistry when you have so many new players coming in?
It's not as hard as you may think, honestly, because we just got a lot of guys that just like to stay in the gym this year. You know, like, we're always in the gym. It's to the point Doug is like trying to cut us off. So we're just in there building relationships, you know, just messing around, you know, have serious workouts where we just, you know, not leaving until we feel comfortable with whatever we have going on, like whatever the workout may be. I feel like it's easier just because we're always in the gym or we're always in the weight room. So we're always together.
You mentioned that you have been working with Coach Davis quite a bit this summer and fall. What kind of things have y'all been working on and have you wanted to focus on going into this season?
Yeah, just getting confident in my game. You know, I feel like this is the most I've worked on my game since I could remember, you know, like just individual work. So I get up every morning with Coach Davis around 7 a.m. and meet him at the gym. We work out for about an hour before class, and that just gets my day started right there. Then I have weightlifting. You know, I try to trying to work on my body, you know, get my weight up a little bit. The workout with Coach Davis at 7 a.m., we just work on just shooting, you know, just getting comfortable with off the dribble or spots or whatever case may be, just fixing my jump shot. And I feel like it's came a long way since last year. So really excited with that.
What, when you're working on a shot, is that just the repetitions? Is that how you feel like it improved, just getting shot after shot after shot up? Or is it something where you're changing things technically a little bit there? How have you tried to improve there?
All of that, honestly, you know, is getting shot after shot. It's just reps. It's reps on reps. And then after you get comfortable with that, you move to something else, try to tweak it a little bit. Add, like, say, like you just start off with spots. You get comfortable with doing the spots. And then you add, like, a dribble. Once you get comfortable with adding a pump fake dribble, you add, you know, a different move, like between the legs, behind the back, and one dribble, like, shot, like, just keep adding different stuff. And eventually you do that every day and just keep getting the reps on reps. You'll get pretty comfortable with it.
Shooting a basketball is obviously something you've done your entire life. Coach Davis really knows how to shoot the ball. He was a great shooter and has been helpful to a lot of guys shooting the ball. What's something about your shot that he's told you that maybe you had never thought about it that way before?
He told me he sees that I can be one of the best shooters in the country. And when he first told me that, I was kind of looked at him like he was crazy. But these past 4 or 5 weeks I've been getting up with him and like actually working on my shot, is I can see the difference. We all can see the difference. Like, everyone always, you know, comes in and just like tries to watch me. They like, you know, I just feel them on the side, like just talking about it, like how far it's come. So it's really encouraging, honestly. And I'm really happy and fortunate to be able to work with Coach Davis, you know, a shooter like him. So it means a lot to me.
Leaky, we talked to Armando recently as well. I asked him this same question, but it seems like a really long time ago that last season ended. And of course, so much has happened between that moment and now. But when you look back at last year, what kind of things can you take from that? Can you learn from? I know it was a season that nobody was happy with around Carolina basketball.
Right. You just look back and you just got to learn from everything. You know, as hard as it may watch again on film, you just got to learn from it. You know, man, I know we're all fired up. We're all fired up just to play somebody. We don't care who it is. Play somebody. Like, we just need to get this bad taste out of our mouth. We're going to come in. We told ourselves we was going to come in every day being better than we were the day before. You know, and you just keep building on that. And it's just, you can just feel the energy in the gym, you know, while we're working out or whatever the case may be. So,
how do you feel health-wise? How does your body feel?
I feel great. This is the best I've felt in a long time. You know, it's been a long summer grind, you know, not taking hardly any days off, you know, getting with Doug, you know, really fortunate to be working with him. He's had a lot of time to, you know, help me get everything situated, you know, just building on my body, you know, just adding muscle up top and in my legs so that my ankle's not a problem anymore, you know.
All right, Leaky, can we get, I know you've talked about Dayron a little bit, can we get a snapshot Leaky Black scouting report on the freshmen that are coming in? Maybe just 20 seconds or something on each guy on what you've seen so far from all these new players.
Okay, we have so many, might help me go
down. Yeah, if you forget somebody, we'll help you.
All right, bet. So I gave you Dayron. You want me to go through Dayron again?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Man. The thing that stood out with me is I think Coach Rob compares him to like Montrez, Harrell, and like Bam. Like, he has like a high motor and he like tries to dunk everything. He plays so hard, man. He, you know, he's just so big. Like, it's just, how do you guard him? Like, it's you just really can't guard him. You know, he can shoot the ball, he can dribble it. He really has the whole game. I'm really excited to see him play and put the college basketball world on notice about his game. He's really going to turn some heads.
All right, how about Walker Kessler?
Man, my first time seeing him work out in the gym, he was catching the ball from the top of the key at the three-point line, taking one dribble, dunking it backwards, like a Euro step, dunking it backwards. He's so long, man. He's so physical. He's going to be really good. You know, him going up against Dayron and G, like, every day, and Mondo, like, he's – a big man. We got some pretty good big men this year.
All right, how about Caleb Love back there at one of the guard spots?
Man, he's looked good. You know, he's just so confident. You know, he's the type you can just – he can go with the flow. He can get his anytime he wants. He's a shot creator. He makes plays for other people. You know, he's just so quick. People don't really see that in this film, but he's really quick and powerful. Like, he's just – it's like when he goes up to, like, finish through contact, like, he's taking people with you, and he's only a freshman. So, I mean, just imagine what a couple more weeks or two going to do with him and Jonas. You know, him getting with Jonas and getting stronger, that's going to be scary. He's going to be dunking on people.
All right, we're halfway there. How about R.J. Davis back there too?
Man, we really love him. You know, he pushes the ball, like, kind of like, I want to say like Kobe, but he pushes the ball really well. You know, Coach loves it. You can just see it on Coach's face every time he does it. So it's, he's real confident, too. That's a big thing about his game. He doesn't care how tall or big he is. You know, he's real confident. You know, he can shoot the three. He makes the three real well. But, like, I think his game, he gets to the cup like he's, like, 6'10". You know, he's pushing over Mondo and, you know, finding ways to get into their body and different ways to finish. He's real crafty. He's real quick, too. So he's placed real confident. And yeah, we really love him.
All right, how about those two wings, Puff Johnson and Kerwin Walton? And then the test is over after that, Leaky. Those are the last two.
Kerwin, I'm going to start with Kerwin. Kerwin, it's funny because when we all first got here, you know, Kerwin would just stay in the gym. When I tell you, it was one day. It was like going on for like a while, but it was one day I walked in and – I think one of the managers that told me that he doesn't leave until he makes like 120 something like in a row. He didn't leave that day until he made like 130 in a row. When I tell you he made like 130 in a row, he made 130 in a row. And he does that like, I think like every time he shoots, he ends on something powerful like that. Like he really can shoot. Like he's really streaky. He's a real confident player. He's going to be good for us. He's going to be huge. He's going to allow the defense to like play us honest because the way he shoots the ball, man, you can't leave him.
And then Puff Johnson, last one.
Puff, man. It's like we have Cam Johnson on our team again. So it's crazy. Like they sound alike. They just, it's crazy. Like everything they do is just alike. But he's just left-handed. You know, he's super long. You know, I think his wingspan is like almost the same as mine. He looks like he's already been in the gym a little bit. He's just so powerful. You know, he tries to like bully people and he really can shoot it too. So.
If I had to stay in the gym until I made 120 in a row, Leaky would just come in one day and there'd be like my bones over in the corner. You know, it looks like he never made it to 120.
Oh man. Nah, it was something to see though. When words started going around about that, you know, it was, people started going out to the court and like seeing him, you know, do that. Started motivating everybody else to get in the gym too. So, I mean, it's been a fun season.
Leaky, how are you doing just personally? This has been such a weird 6 or 7 months now for everybody. How's your life been? How have you been handling all this?
Man, it's been crazy. Honestly, I don't feel like anything has changed for me though. You know, I've just been, I mean, I'm an introvert. So, I mean, I don't really like going out and like, you know, talking to many people, but this time has just allowed me to really focus on every little thing like about my game and, you know, like get my body right. So right after the season ended and the whole COVID-19 stuff took place, I went home and I spent long times with my parents. I mean, with my parents, my family, you know, my sisters, they really took care of me, you know, getting my head back right after that hard season. And after that, I was like, all right, it's time. So me and Doug got together, rehab every day. Nevin and Charlotte, rehab every day. I was lifting, shooting, you know, just working on my game, running. So it's just been, all this time has just allowed me to really focus on myself.
We have real Leaky right here, but I see that Leaky also has like sticker Leaky on the wall behind him. You guys have a lot of like shirts and stickers and stuff that are in your image. Who is the worst? Like, what's the worst sticker or shirt of somebody and you're like, that looks nothing like you? Who is that guy?
I think it was one of Armando. It looked a little too normal. It was just like like his cartoon just looked too normal. It looked kind of funny. We always give him, you know, crap about that. So yeah, he definitely was the worst ones.
I like Leaky's face. It was like, oh, it was like he smelled something bad when he was thinking about that. He was like, oh, Armando's was.
Who has like a lot of like big heads of me like that? And I was gonna say my mom, because she posts stuff like every day, like all day. If y'all follow her on social media, like that's all you see. So that's what it reminded me of.
We just need to get up with her and we'll get a big, maybe we could put a big old Leaky like fathead back there behind us and we'll just have it there.
She's a big pod listener. I bet she's got stuff she can send us.
Yeah, I had to take that one from her because she, like, as soon as I walked in the door, I seen my dog like tearing it up. I was like, oh no.
You gotta give some respect to the fake Leaky, the cartoon Leaky. Yeah. Can't let the dog have it, man.
Yeah, my dog was tearing it up, so I had to take it away.
Now, Leaky, you are, of course, legendary on the podcast because you called Da Baby and Lil Baby before anybody knew who they were.
Yeah.
And you told people that they needed to keep an eye on those guys. Jones and I became big fans of both babies.
Yeah.
And we were out ahead of everybody. So who can you tell us here in late 2020, early 2021, who do we need to be watching so that we'll be ahead of everybody this year?
Oh, man. There's so many guys out. I've just been listening to a lot of J. Cole lately. So I'm trying to think. I think Rod Wave and Roddy Rich. I feel like they're going to take off here soon.
All right, Adam, get your notepad out. Yeah. Make sure you got that ready to go.
Now, can pod listeners listen to them with the kids in the car?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
They have some bass songs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Family-friendly entertainment, just like Leaky Black is.
Yeah, that's right.
Leaky, man, it's so good to see you, man. And I wish we could be doing this in the same room, but great to see you. Looking forward to seeing you on the court here soon, and always appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me, man. I miss you guys. Hopefully see you soon.
We appreciate the time from both Armando and Leaky. And Adam, how is it? It's really getting close to basketball season. There's going to be a game in about 5 weeks from now. I think there was so much effort and thought about getting to football, and there still is, and I understand it. But now all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, it's mid-October. It's mid to late October. I don't know where the days have gone, Adam. Other than into my memory banks and my heart.
By now, we would have normally had fast break breakfast. We would have had late night. We'd be coming up on a scrimmage here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point. In a regular year, the year would probably be starting in like 2 weeks or two and a half or something.
Yeah. Woo. I think there was so much focus on the mechanics of making football happen, but now we have football games to distract us. So there's not as much talk about the mechanics of making basketball games happen. But let us assure you, there's a lot of discussion about those mechanics going on.
Yeah. So, really appreciate Leaky and Armando's time. One thing I thought was pretty interesting, Adam, is that both those guys, you could tell that they were excited to get back and not have the last thing you think about Carolina basketball be last year. That it seemed like they were both ready to show off what the team was this season.
It's always risky to feel this way because you don't know if you're just letting your personal biases interfere. But I really feel like every time I go to practice this year, I walk out of there going, there's a little different energy about that team and just a different volume level at that practice than what I remember from last year. And again, your perspective could be off because things went so poorly last year, but it sure does feel that way.
Adam, I forgot to take us through the champions of the gridirons where we highlight MVPs from the previous game, brought to you by UNC Health, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds. That includes you and your family, and they want to keep you at your very best. And their lineup can be seen at unchealthcare.org/sports. Here's a couple of numbers for you, Adam. Bo Corrales, career high, 141 yards, had a receiving touchdown as well. First time in Bo's career that he's gone over 100 in a game. Sam Howell, 374 yards and three touchdowns to 374, second highest that he's thrown for as a Tar Heel. And Adam, this is impressive. Sam now at 4,782 yards in his career. He passed Jason Stanisek, former pod guest.
This is Jason Stanisek. See you later, Big Grits.
And Mitch Trubisky, not a former pod guest, for sixth all-time in Carolina history in passing yards. Michael Carter, not his biggest day. He rushed for 65 yards, but he passed Elijah Hood and Charlie Justice to move into eighth place on Carolina's all-time rushing list. Neither Elijah Hood nor Charlie Justice have been guests here on the pod.
And choo-choo Justice. See you later, Big Grits.
And Javonte Williams, 119 yards, 67 receiving yards, which was a career high. He now has, in the last two games, 410 yards of total offense in the last two games. So, some of the champions from this past game for Carolina football. Adam, I know you've been waiting a while. Would you like to get to your list?
Sure.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Want to congratulate Daniel Bard, who is a former pod guest.
This is Daniel Bard. See you later, Big Grits.
He is the comeback player of the year. I think we called that one before the season even started.
Yep. That was a good one. I would have questioned the voters had he not earned that award.
Yes. Wanted to get your thoughts on everyone being eligible for bowl games. It's just a free-for-all. Everyone who's playing can be in a bowl.
I think it will be. So are there still bowl ties with certain bowls? Like, does the ACC still have its contract with bowl X, Y, and Z?
Well, I think that contract currently exists.
Adam, is the Sun, is the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl still on the table?
Well, come on. We know the big bowls are going to happen, so Sun Bowl, yes. But I think bowl X, Y, Z, what if they decide not to have a bowl? Then I think you things are up in the air.
Well,
that would never happen to the Sun Bowl.
Right. I guess my other thought is, like, if there's the Gasparilla Bowl and they don't have to take somebody from the Sun Belt and Maryland sitting there after a 2-4 season in the Big Ten and they're like, you know what? We'd rather have Maryland than you, Louisiana Tech. You know, I just don't know how. So, you know what my ultimate thoughts are, Adam? I don't really care. I think the Tar Heels are going to be, they would have been good enough to earn a bowl trip on their own merits regardless this year. And they're going to play somewhere for a bowl game. And hopefully it's a really important one. We'll have to wait and see.
It kind of feels like it could go back to old school bowl finagling where shady deals are worked out like 2 months before the season's over.
Old school bowl finagling, Adam?
Several people brought this to our attention. Joe Biden was in the state of North Carolina, and where would he go?
Yeah.
Of all the Tar Heel state, from Murphy to Manteo, but Cookout.
Yeah. Look, if you are on your presidential campaign, if you're trying to prove that you're a man of the people, you go get a shake. I mean, we must have had 5 or 6 people say that he should have gotten the pod. He'd have probably, if he'd have just gotten the pod, he'd have probably just won the election no matter what.
That, I for sure think that would have gotten some votes.
Yeah.
If he had just swaggered up there and been like, all right, guys, give me the pod. All right.
We took a long look at this Cookout. We think we've narrowed it in where it was, which part of our great state.
Right. Not our most frequent Cookout, but it's on the board.
Yeah, it's in the area.
I would like to issue a formal apology.
You better.
To Harper Evans. Harper, I am sorry that I said you are 3 years old. It said right on the card 3 months. I don't know why I said years. I can't explain it other than I'm old and sometimes I do dumb things.
I have to say, Adam, I'm no expert on babies, but I think if you'd have said Jones, now granted, keep in mind, I heard Adam say this and just, I probably wasn't listening. Adam and I are like an old married couple. I'm like, oh, is Adam talking now? I'm going to think about kittens and pizza. But I'm no expert on babies. But if I look at a picture of a baby and you go, Jones, this baby 3 months old or 3 years old, I think I could get that one 100% of the time.
And there was a picture of Harper in the tweet. And I looked right at it as I said it. Not only did I read the wrong word, but I looked at Harper, who is obviously 3 months old, and said that Harper was 3 years old. Harper Evans is 3 months old. And that's...
Let the fact ring from the mountaintops. Harper Evans is 3 months old.
I thought that Bobby Casey had a good idea about pod interviews that he tweeted to us. He said, Jay Billis does the player interview for basketball in the olden days on game day, walking the basketball court side by side.
Yeah.
Adam needs to do the same thing, but he and the interviewee must ride a horse side by side.
Yeah. Javonte would have to be our first interview with this particular exercise, though, just so we had an expert.
I thought that was a funny idea. I would be in for that.
Can you imagine, like, you're sitting there, you're holding your arm out with a microphone? So, Garrison Brooks. You can't see me, but I'm bouncing up and down like I'm on a horse.
On the gold feed, that was funny. Want to congratulate Chris Hostetler.
Hey, Chris, Do you know Hannah Evans is
Harper Evans? Harper Evans. I don't want to have to apologize next episode too. Chris Hostetler says, "Put me in the 100% club, baby." Cha-ching. "I've been listening to you guys since the very beginning, with many happy days and even a few sad Fridays along the way. With no commute, Chris fell behind during COVID, but he spent the last few months catching up. He caught up to 100% at the Sally Krawcheck episode." He's a financial planner, Chris says, "and it's rare that he can listen to a financial person and agree with almost everything, but she was awesome."
I'm Sally Krawcheck. See you later, Big Grits.
So if you missed Sally Krawcheck back when things were a little wonky.
Yeah. That was a fun interview. Plus, that's when we rewatched one of the Carolina Duke games. I think the 05 Carolina Duke game we rewatched in that episode.
Which Sally loved.
Yep.
And Chris brought up this point that I think Jones is really going to like. A bunch of his old UNC classmates have been chiming in on the show. He knows King Jones. He knows Greg Snodgrass, the Talking Pants story time.
Sure.
He knows Elizabeth Eford.
Yep.
And he knows Brad Barrett, the DuPont explainer. Big Brad, as Chris called him back during school days.
Big Brad.
Didn't brag.
It's Big Brad. That's not Big Weather, right?
No, that's different.
Okay.
Big Brad didn't brag about
it. You know,
himself.
I took out that whole Big Weather discussion when we had that one episode. You guys didn't know what you were missing that day.
Big Brad didn't brag about himself, but he's a professor at the Naval Academy. And Chris says, of oceanography or meteorology or something, y'all should try to get him for a weather interview.
Well,
you would like that.
I've told you, Adam, whoever books these interviews, I want a weather interview, and I want it now. No, I think this offseason we're going to have a weather interview.
You good with Big Brad?
Yeah, we're going to have a weather interview this offseason. We can wait until the offseason. I'm fine, but we're going to have a weather interview.
Okay.
And we're all going to learn a little something about dew point and about El Nino and about humidity and all kinds of weather stuff.
You're going to sit down and do your homework before you go outside to play.
You sit down and listen about trade winds. Here we go. Hope you enjoy it. We're going to explain the difference between low pressure and high pressure. Go.
Speaking of the 100% Club, Ed Yeager is working on it. And while he does so, he sent us an email. CarolinaInsiderPod@gmail.com is that address.
Yeah, it is.
Ed wants to know, has there been some rule change to allow more commercials at each break? The Florida State game was long, and not just because of the times the Tar Heels were behind or the outcome. It really seemed to take a long time.
Yeah, 3 hours and 43 minutes. Well, Ed, it's the price of being in a heavily televised game, quite honestly. So the answer is, yeah, there's more. The breaks are longer in a ABC nighttime game than they are on an ACC network noon game because there's more content to sell, more valuable content to sell. So, yeah, you're not going to see many socket shelf ads during the 7:30 ABC game.
The upside is you learn about various tactical items.
Yeah.
But when you see the tactical commercials, you know, all right, shorter breaks. When you don't see tactical items, longer breaks.
I will say from the radio broadcast side of things, it was nice to have a little bit of time coming back from the breaks to be able to, you know, do a reader card and then talk to Brian about something and get things reset and be ready to go. But it did make for a long night.
Yes. Speaking of that Florida State game, Travis Anderson sent us a tweet. Travis doesn't know if it was just him, but he felt the pass to Bo Corrales should have been defensive holding, as the defensive player was holding onto Corrales' jersey.
Adam, I'm going to have to defer to this one to you. I have not seen a replay, and I'm assuming Travis is talking about the one on the final drive that Bo did not catch after he, of course, had a bunch of impressive catches.
And it did look like, well, the reason why it looked like this is because the defender caught his finger or something in Bo Corrales' shirt under his jersey. And so the shirt under the jersey stretched out. So it was very obvious that there was some contact. Did that impede Bo from making the catch? I don't know. But there definitely was some sort of contact. That's not why Carolina lost. And if they throw the flag, who knows? But something happened because Bo's shirt moved. I've seen it called. I've seen it not called. Let's see. Did you watch Supermarket Sweep on Sunday?
No. Was it good?
What? You didn't watch?
No. Was it good?
I didn't dislike it as much as I thought I was going
to. Oh. Yeah, I mean, having a different host, and this isn't something negative about Leslie Jones. I feel like David Ruprecht is part of Supermarket Sweep.
Part of the attraction of the show is the incredibly awkward interactions between David Ruprecht and the incredibly awkward people.
Yeah, and the 90s-ness of it.
Right. Leslie Jones seems very fun.
She seems very sassy.
She's very sassy.
Yeah.
But that eliminates the awkwardness.
Yeah.
Which I kind of missed. They squeezed two, basically, episodes into the hour.
Mm.
So the episode was an hour long, but you got two episodes, if that probably doesn't make any sense.
It made sense. We're not talking dew points here. There were two episodes in 1 hour. We got it.
Well, I said the word episode a lot. It was confusing. I was prepared to be very angry about Leslie Jones. I feel like she could grow on me. Am I going to watch again this coming Sunday? Yes.
You bet your big inflated grocery items that you can pick up in the sweep yard. Do they still have those?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's
Do they still go straight for the ham?
There's no Farmer John hams, and there's some kind of very expensive honey that they always go to. There's $35 honey. Who's buying this in the regular store?
Honey, can you make sure you pick up a jar of honey at the store? Sure, yeah. Do you want the one that costs $1.19 or the one that costs $35?
In both episodes, someone went and got the honey. Oh, here's the other thing. Leslie Jones does the voiceover while they're running around.
Oh.
She goes like in the manager's office and gets on the grocery store.
Do they have her like in like a box inset in the screen so you can see her face?
We went split screen a couple times so that we could see her, and she talks on like the store PA. And when
she's on the PA.
I think. And then when they go and get the honey, she's like, "Oh, that's smart. They're going to get the $35 honey."
Man.
Do you think that's a euphemism? Like, is that something I could say to my wife? Like, "Oh, you know I love that $35 honey."
Baby, it's Friday. Let's get the expensive honey.
A couple differences. Largely the show you know and love, fewer sweaters. Also, you can alter your sweatshirt in the final sweep. So people made some alterations.
What, like put their own personal flair on there?
Yeah, like there were some ruffles. There was a couple from, two friends from North Carolina on the first episode.
Nice.
I assume they're the ones who drove from North Carolina to California that we read about in the pregame story. and they had made some cuts to their sweatshirt, I think.
Hmm. I have to tell you, Adam, I would love to host Supermarket Sweep. I would love it. I think I could do it.
I think you'd be a nice middle ground between Ruprecht and Jones.
Yeah.
Leslie Jones.
Yeah, sure.
Not real Jones.
No. I understand. It would be awesome.
If you could only pick one, would you host Supermarket Sweep or The Bachelor?
I think it's Supermarket Sweep now.
Mm.
The Bachelor, for me, has kind of lived its life. I'm out of The Bachelor game.
But don't you think that probably has a longer lifespan than Supermarket
Sweep?
Probably. Like, what if it's not a hit and it's only a one-season thing?
Yeah.
Then you're out there on the street looking for other game shows.
I'd make it a hit.
Look, I don't like the premise of this game, but that host is excellent.
Yeah, look, if you got me hosting it and $35 honey, I don't know how it could go wrong.
Oddly, that was the premise of the podcast when we pitched it the first time. I thought this email from Troy Rayner is one that you probably greatly enjoyed.
Oh,
he headlined it, "Another Mesh Router Bonus." Troy writes as follows. Like the Angel family, the Rayner family also joined the mesh revolution about a month ago.
Yep.
Along with the superior coverage and faster speeds came a little nugget of power called the parental controls.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing whips a 10 and 7-year-old into shape. Has he been at your house? Like the threat of the pause button on their assigned devices. The only display of power I can compare this to is the threat of calling Santa Claus during the month of December. This is a truly amazing time in which we live. As any good parent would know, the thing you have to do with that is act as though you're omnipotent, and it's not some app. It's just this knowledge that you have. So then you go back to the kid the next day, and you're like, was little Johnny over here?
Oh, don't worry. Like,
how do you know that?
Oh, don't worry.
Daddy just knows.
Oh, I did that on Sunday.
Yeah.
I said, how long did person X stay last night? Oh, trust me.
Were they amazed
yes.
by your knowledge?
Oh, yeah.
You got to keep it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Don't give in about the app.
No.
That's all for the list other than the taste test.
Okay. I said I don't even want this, and I'm going to go through it. It wasn't the worst thing that's ever happened to me, Adam, but I didn't like it.
I'm not going to goad you into the how can you justify that until Friday.
Okay. So I was on my way to Tallahassee, and I was getting out of my car, and I have a bucket of gum in my car. Does that make sense? You know what I'm talking about.
It's got my $35 honey and all my gum.
So, but it's like a gum bucket. You know what I mean, right?
I do because I can see your hand.
Right there. Gum bucket. So what
it's
I do.
It's not as big as a bucket.
No. But it's a plastic cylinder.
Right. Okay, that's better.
So what I do is I buy the gum bucket and I chew all the gum. And then I go and just get a giant refill bag, and I refill the gum bucket. It's the smart way to do it, might I add. But I will say, the refill bag is not cheap. It's like $7 for a refill gum bag. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I have two gum buckets. I have one in the car and one at my desk at home. So I have two gum buckets. So the refill bag, I can refill both gum buckets. It all turns out fine. Well, I'm getting out of the car to get inside the airport, to get on the airplane, to go to Florida State. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I think I'd like to indulge in a couple pieces of gum on my way into the old terminal here.
Keeps the ears from popping.
Yeah. So I grabbed the top of the gum bucket to pick up the bucket, but the top was not on securely, Adam. And I had already opened the door. I bet 50 pieces of gum went spilling all over the parking lot. Well, now I felt like an idiot. So I had to pick up all the gum. So I'm like, fortunately, I look like an idiot because I'm like down on the ground, picking up, going under cars. So I get all the gum. I have to walk into the airport, like holding big thing of gum. And I'm like, hold on, everybody. Let me just dump this gum in the trash can. So all in all, not very pleasant. But then the real kicker, Adam, was late at night. Get back. It's super late. The Tar Heels haven't won. I just want to go home. And the car that had been parked next to me in the parking lot was no longer there. And when they backed out, they had backed over some of the pieces of gum I couldn't get to. So it was like this little metaphor for the whole day. They're my smashed pieces of gum right there on the parking lot, mocking me as I tried to get in the car to go home. I do want, Adam, fresh breath. I do not want my gum to be smashed in my face after I spill it out of the gum bucket in the parking lot. Okay, Adam, we have what a big culmination here on the show.
Yep.
All right, break it down. Break it down in a cooler way than that.
Oh, well, that won't be very difficult. We would like to thank Carrie and Abram Graham.
Yep.
They journeyed all the way from merry old England for the sole purpose of bringing us a family-sized bag of giant Skittles. Also, they may have relocated to North Carolina. But mostly, it was solely to bring these to us.
Well, and this is important. What awareness by the Grahams to bring two bags of the giant Skittles. And if you've been a listener for a long time, we don't mean like giant, like a giant bag, although the bag is sizable.
Family size.
We're talking the Skittles are giant. And Adam, you're opening them now. They say they are three times bigger than the regular Skittles, and they are. So they brought us two bags, one for display in our Skittle shelf with our other foreign Skittles, our Skittle tube, our regular bag of Skittles, and our yogurt Skittles. So now we have giant Skittles as well. And since these are the British ones, or the foreign ones, we are going to do a little taste test here with the black currant Skittle.
According to this bag, These Skittles are, as Jones said, three times bigger.
They look big.
They're softer inside.
They might intimidate Lil Cassio.
Same crunchy shell, bigger soft center, but center is spelled real classily. C-E-N-T-R-E.
That's nice.
All right, what do I do?
Well, you take one of the blackcurrant Skittles out of the bag, you eat it, and tell us how it tastes.
All right.
Wow.
It's sizable.
Yeah, it is. Here, let me tell you. Okay. Go ahead and give us Adam. Adam is putting the blackcurrant Skittle into his mouth. He is now chewing it. He has a curious look on his face. Oh, now it is an unpleasant look. Oh, still chewing. But my years of Skittle experience tells me Adam did not like the black currant. Let's go down to the field to our sideline reporter and figure it out. All right, let's go to Lee Pace, our Pinehurst Resort sideline reporter. Okay, thanks, Jones. Adam, you just ate the black currant Skittle. Can you please tell us what you thought of it?
I was impressed with the consistency. They maintained the Skittle composition very well, even though it was three times bigger. The taste, at first I thought was okay, but then the more I got into it, the more I realized I am not a fan of black currant. Now, I will say there's not much aftertaste, so at least it was over quickly, but it definitely tasted like something I would have eaten in olden times, but then they would have developed something better than that.
So I don't hate it. It's not nearly as good as grape. Okay. I just had one too. It's not nearly as good as grape.
I don't think so.
Now, the orange one tastes normal.
So red is strawberry. Is that, are American Skittles, is red strawberry?
It's cherry,
that's what I thought. I'm going to try a red one. Let me see if I can find one. They're enormous, as I might have mentioned.
I'm going to have this electric, by the way, this is good content right here. I'm going to have a lime just to enjoy it, because the giant Skittles come the green or lime, not stupid old green apple.
Well, we know there's the theory that these don't really have any taste. Mm-hmm. Supposedly science tells us that. On the bigger Skittles, I even more strongly believe there's an actual flavor in there.
The red one tastes just the same to me as a regular red Skittle.
Red is far superior to purple in this bag of giant Skittles.
All right, I've had one of each. I support all of them. I don't even mind the giant size. I support all of them except for blackcurrant.
So in Europe, they just like this flavor? What, have they not been introduced to grape?
Yeah. Look, Europe, let us give you a little piece of advice from Uncle America. There's actual grapes, right? Like fruit. We've created this flavor that we lie to everybody and say is grape, but it's really just this delicious fake purple flavor.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
Yeah.
So we need you to adopt that over across the pond so we can all be boys.
Yeah, don't.
It's better than blackcurrant.
The technology on closing this bag is incredible. It's not a zipper bag. It has a little sticker that comes on it, and you just fold it under.
Wow.
So good job on
well,
that.
Well, okay, you've got us there, Europe.
Yeah.
Although you could just zip it.
Yeah, you could. I think maybe they haven't invented the zippers in jolly old England.
I support giant Skittles outside of the blackcurrant.
I don't think I would be opposed to a normal size bag of giant Skittles and just snacking on them as I drove down the road.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot figured out today. Adam, I don't say this often. We have an incredibly strong potty candidate coming on Friday. Incredibly strong.
I can't imagine a world in which this interview isn't on the list that are voted for by the listener.
You're going to see it when we put it out and tell you who's coming on Friday, and you're going to go, oh, yeah, really? Potty candidate? And then you're going to listen to it, and you're going to go, I should have listened to Jones and Adam about black currant Skittles and about this gentleman being a potty candidate, because this interview is fun and good.
Yes.
So you just get your mind right for that. coming up on Friday. Adam, anything else?
And even before that, there'll be a video pod on Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I do need to tell you that we're brought to you in part by the College Foundation of North Carolina. Visit cfnc.org for everything you need to plan, apply, and pay for college this application season in an easy, updated format as well.
Free college application week for many in-state North Carolina schools this week. If you've got a high school senior, make sure you remind them to push that submit button so you get it for free. You don't have to take that money out of your 529.
Man, we should really start charging subscriptions. We've given so much information on this bad boy.
I'm so inspired to be like Sally Krawcheck and give this financial wisdom, and I've pretty much exhausted all that I have.
All right. We're getting out of here. Friday, awesome guest, state preview, and more. Now, Adam, we have a special triumvirate of See You Later Big Gritzes. Of course we have Armando Bacot and Leaky Black, but also, Adam, with Abram and Carrie coming all the way to hand-deliver the giant Skittles from England, we wanted to let them help us get out of the show today. So we're going to have Abram and Carrie Graham and Armando Bacot and Leaky Black and the RZA. Get us out here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
So this is Abram and Carrie Graham, all the way from England, back home now in Hillsborough, North Carolina, saying, see you later, Big Grits.
I'm Armando Bacot. See you later, Big Grits.
This is Leaky Black. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
Box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
See you later, Big Grits.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.